tonight on Arena. Rick Wakeman tells us about working with the great David Bowie and Stephen James Smith on the power of poetry in difficult times. You're listening to Friday Night's Arena. Cometh the hour, cometh the poet. And for many, that poet is Stephen James Smith.
Counting numbers is a functional kind of meditation. A distraction in the state of isolation lets make a decision to count to 10 together and find a way to weather this hibernation. One, how many days has it been? Have you found the new routine? Have you lost opportunities, new possibilities, new faith in our authorities, or still the same old anxieties? How heartened are you by the charity found in our communities? Two, how many are trying to catch our collective breath, bereft of touch on house party drinking too much? How many are drinking alone, would feel safer alone? How many are on the latest death toll? How many comparative charts do we need to console us?
An excerpt there from Creative Counting by Stephen James Smith. And Stephen has been a creative guide for lots of people during these tough times, as well as writing poems that capture the zeitgeist. He also curates the therapy sessions as part of First Fortnight, the annual festival that challenges mental health stigmas and prejudices. First Fortnight is in full swing at the moment, and this year the therapy sessions boast a four-corner tour of Ireland featuring the best of musical and spoken word talent from around the country. The sessions have already visited Dublin and Belfast, virtually speaking. Tonight they set off for Cork and tomorrow Galway. Delighted to say that Stephen James Smith has taken a bit of time out of his sound check to talk to us this evening. Just as I listened to Creative Counting, we're so used to listening to all sorts of numbers and depressing numbers on the news on a daily basis, Stephen. I suppose you were touching there that there are lots of other things we can count at the moment as well.
Yeah, and I guess, Sean, as well, that to put a name on the numbers as well, as the poem kind of progresses, I get to that point, that tipping point where, and in fact, I was just having a conversation with a friend of mine today around, not to bring it all back to COVID, but all of a sudden, you know, I have names on people that have it, that are my friends, and there is that sort of a shift from it just being a number to now being a name, and I think that's what I was trying to capture in Collectively Counting. Yeah,
it was like that. That's wonderful. On a different set of numbers, it was like that wonderful set of names that was printed on the front of the Examiner during the week, with all of those involved in the mother and baby homes situation. Names rather than numbers, and it is important. But you also are encouraging us, I think, Stephen, to look on things that have improved during the period.
Yeah, what's improved, Sean?
Well, I think you're telling us to look at, you know, community and friends and how we've
I've just been facetious. Yeah, of course. I mean, it's presented many challenges. Mm. That's a given. Obviously, the festival First Fortnight now is going to go online this year. And I was, you know, had my trepidations about that. But actually, it worked quite well last week, where I'll be live, as it were, the live element of it, and people were commenting, and there was some sort of an interaction. Normally, we'd have about 300-400 people in a room for the gigs that we do, and that's obviously not feasible this year. But there was a sort of a sense of a community online, which was nice to experience. And definitely, you know, there's a neighbourly element as well, where you can see people helping each other out. So, yes, challenges for sure, and hopefully some light there as well.
Yeah, well, as the end of the poem says, our hearts need to be close, not closed, and that's the important thing. Work-wise, has it been a challenging year?
Yeah, for sure. I had my first European tour booked for last spring, so that got cancelled like 13 or 14 dates around Europe, so I was really excited about that. I had an Irish tour booked for November, that got cancelled. In total, I've had 52 gigs cancelled on me. But I'm fortunate in that I do some voiceover work from time to time, or I get some copywriting jobs and different commissions, so like some work came my way that wouldn't have happened. So, and for me, I really need a purpose, something to like a deadline, something to focus on to keep my brain ticking over. And thankfully, I got a few bits my way. You know, I have to be honest with you. Yeah. March, I've basically have two jobs. I've finished my work with First Fortnight tomorrow night, and then I've two bits of work on between now and March. So I don't know what the rest of the year holds for me. But you kind of need to lean into this with a bit of goodwill and a bit of, it normally comes back to you, I find.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it was a great moment when the Late Late Show, when you were on in December, and audiences say you really wowed the whole country. I know the poem is about Dublin, but you can kind of substitute any town, city, home place, whatever you like in some ways for Dublin in this. I'm not going to play all of it, but let's have a listen to the closing section of Dublin You Are.
Dublin You Are, talk. Yet you have my attention. From Robbie Keane to Paul and me in Dublin's Colin, ooh, ah, Paul McGrath, while some say up the Ra Dublin, bridging gaps with Joyce and Beckett and finally to Rosie Hackett Dublin. Paddy Finnegan was forced to sell the big issue on your streets while Daffodil Mulligan was played to Bearon Beats. Dublin, you say delish. Dublin, you're full of the Polish and Brazilians speaking Portuguese, and now the Chinese have turned Parnell Street into Chinatown. Dublin, don't let them down. Dublin, don't forget. No blacks, no dogs, no Irish. Dublin perish the thought of you being racist. Dublin, who Cullen has fed to GPO and is heading for Monto. Dublin, your bay embraces, despite the Sellafield Sea, your mountains frame all your natural beauty. Dublin, the whale and banshee stricken with TB. Dublin, you're European, but you could be Craggy Island in disguise. Gabriel Conroy is heading west because of an epiphany. Just saying, Dublin, you only painted your post boxes green. Is the Abbey doing all you dreamed? Dublin, you're notorious for clampers, senators, seagulls, Celtic tigers, septic tanks and singing high kings and rampaging Vikings. Dublin, come here. Take me for a teddy's and a romantic stroll then with a pier. Dublin, you're a dancing place. A sprawling space of villages and many faces on the edge of an island that's been eroded by the Atlantic, battling with being romanticised. Dublin, are you dynamic? Struggling with identity. Changing for the better. Changing for us. Don't be scared to change. Don't be scared. We're with you. Always. My friend. My home. Mentioned 50 times in this poem, we live in you, with you, my city, McCree. I love you. Most of the time, you see, Dublin, you are me.
What a moment that was, Stephen, during the Late Late Show in December. You must have had a phenomenal reaction to that performance in particular.
Yeah, it was funny enough. It was actually pre-recorded. we won't spoil the magic.
Don't spoil the magic. I was going to say, yeah.
I got quite an influx. I don't really deal with that very well, Sean, to be quite honest with you. I did the Late Late in 2018, and it's lovely to have that opportunity. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to suggest otherwise, but I don't do it for that, you know, the kind of online stuff. I got a few thousand emails and stuff kind of come my way afterwards, which is lovely. But, I'm just not built for that. Yeah. My brain doesn't cope with it very well.
I know. I'm not so much talking about the kind of plaudits, because I'm sure that it was full of plaudits.
I've got plenty of negativity.
I'm sure there's been a few naysayers and a few trolls in there as well, for sure.
There always is, yeah.
But I'm just interested in the kind of responses that people gave. You know, what was the kind of emotion that they were expressing they had as they watched that, albeit a pre-record? No, it was going out live in Mike's sitting room, yeah. So and I presume that's what it felt like to everybody else as well.
Well, I think the reason people connect with, it's a Dublin-centric poem, that's a given, but it's not just the good of the city. Like, I love Dublin. In fact, I'm leaving Dublin next week. I'm moving to Wexford, which is kind of a bit of a, it's a milestone in my life to have lived here for 38 years. But I love it, but I also hate it. And I think that's why it can get beyond the pale, as it were. And I could say that poem in Cork, and people will resonate with it, because I'm not coming down going, we're the best place ever. Yeah. We're not. And people, they know the city. They know the streets and the things that I've referenced as well. So I think that's why it transfers. And even if I do it internationally, I've been lucky the odd time to do a few international gigs. And people, they might know some of the reference points, but they get the sense, the emotion that I put within it. So that's why it transfers.
I mean, you touched on there that this whole idea that it can transfer to anywhere at all. In January, then, you gave us this track featuring Cormac and Jess Kavanagh on the music side of things, and two phenomenal dancers, Caoimhe Wandel, I think is how I say her name, Brannigan, and Toby Omotezo. Just tell me a little bit about Mayo. I want to play it later on, but I want you to tell me a little bit about the kind of wish you were sending or you sent to people in that poem.
They're basically blessings, Sean. And so I was fortunate. One of the jobs that I got last year was a commission from Avalon, who supplied the funding for that video, the beautiful video that you got to see. And it meant that I got to pay, well, via them, Cormac and Jess, and everybody got like a good payday for that, which was lovely. And they basically trusted us to create something. There was no sort of agenda that you have to talk about this. It was just you as artists, and what Avalon wanted to do is to support artists, and they feel that businesses should do that. So it was a great opportunity for us all to get together and to collaborate. I love collaborating with different people. But for me, I guess I wrote the poem for what I needed to hear, and for us to realise that during lockdown, we've probably been the best version and the worst version of ourselves. Yeah. Certainly that's true for me. I've definitely kind of lost the rag once or twice when I shouldn't have. And so the Mayu blessings is about forgiveness for ourselves and for those around us, and a bit of compassion. So that's where it kind of stemmed from, and it seems to resonate with people. Like, a lot of people have been listening to it on Spotify and the likes, which is a new sort of place for me to be existing in, you know. But
And the video director there was Simon Daniels, and as I mentioned, the two dancers as well, Jess Kavanagh involved, and Cormac involved in the music side of things. And in fact, one of the dancers, Toby, Jess Kavanagh, and yourself did a video all about the power of dance and music and painting and all of the arts. And I suppose first fortnight this year, more than any year perhaps in recent times, everybody possibly has had to take a very strong look at their mental health and how they're coping with this period in time.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. Like, the reason the festival takes place in the first 2 weeks of January is it tends to be the most difficult time of year for a lot of people, because you just come out of Christmas, you've spent too much money, you've drank too much, you've dealt with family you don't want to deal with. All these things build up, and it tends to be a very tough time. So that's why strategically the festival exists then. This year, even internally, you know, the team at First Fortnight, you know, it's a small team. We've had our own struggles. We've had to support each other. So, like, to be honest with you, Sean, I'm probably saying too much, but our metrics for the festival this year, in it taking place, is a success. We're not worrying about ticket sales or numbers or whatever. We just, like, and it shouldn't be about that, but the fact that the festival is happening, that we've been able to support each other to get it out there, and that people are tuning in and are connecting around the country and feeling some sort of sense of camaraderie, that's a success, you know. I've definitely had my struggles, without a shadow of a doubt. Unfortunately, let's face it, name it, there's been suicides. That wouldn't have happened. Well, I assume wouldn't have happened without, you know, COVID and the way, the extreme that's pushed people to. So absolutely, it's an important festival. In a way, we want to get to a point where we don't need to exist, you know, like where mental health and stigma has been reduced and it just becomes part of the norm. There's been improvements, and it's definitely part of the national conversation a lot more. This is the 10th year of the festival, and I think the festival has really helped to drive that. But there's still a way to go, let's face it.
Yeah, for sure. Four sessions, and when I say for sure, there's a way to go, I mean in terms of how we need to change ideas around our attitudes to mental health.
Yeah, well, we need more funding, don't we? Like, we need the government to fund things more. Like, one of the sister projects of First Fortnight is Mining Creative Minds. So there's now a free counselling service for people who work in the creative sector. So that's a massive thing, and there's been some funding from the government from that, which is great. So if anybody out there is struggling, they work in the arts, look at Mining Creative Minds. And then First Fortnight also work with the homeless community all year round, where they provide creative arts therapists for that. So it's more than just a 2-week festival. There's actually an awful lot more that goes on behind the scenes that we do all year round.
And the other thing you've been very vocal about, in fact, you've touched on it there in terms of the performing arts and the arts in general, the video, This Is Who We Are, and you had a letter then written by members of the entertainment industry in September, just pointing out, You know, this is what we do. This is who we are. We need funding. We need money to just be able to continue. I know every sector is out there looking for that, but particularly I think in recent times the arts sector has been relied upon. So, you know, you have to support that to keep it alive.
Yeah, people have definitely lent on artists, but like, so take away, I agree with what you're saying, but then take away the maybe people trying to look at the arts as being arty-farty and airy-fairy, whatever. It's also actually a business. I'm a self-employed artist. So last year, like, I pay my taxes, I'm self-employed for 5 or 6 years now. Like, I had a four-figure fee going out to pay other people last year, and I'm just a one-person operation. So that's paying, you know, booking agents, PR people, other artists. Like, you know, it's not an insignificant amount of money. So people forget that actually the arts, it's more than show business. You know, it's a much more, there's an intangible there. But there is certainly metrics where you can measure by. If you invest in the arts, the money goes back into the economy. So if you don't look at it as a that holistic thing, that being important to you, look at just down to the finance. And actually, it's little businesses that are keeping the whole economy afloat. So that's why it's so important. And as you say, the This Is Who You Are movement, which I got involved in through Shane Dunn from Independence, you know, it was a no-brainer to get involved. So just for people to realise, actually, it's so much more. It's the lighting, it's the sound engineers, there's tech people, there's so much more work that goes into these festivals than just the artists, and that's a whole business.
Yeah, it's a sector, it's an industry, it's a business, it's a little economic unit, and everything, there's a symbiosis there, everything depends on everything else.
100%.
Okay, you've had the two sessions already. We spoke about some of them actually earlier this month as well. You've had the two sessions in Dublin and in Belfast, Cork and Galway then tonight and tomorrow night. I presume it'll be you, great musicians, and some of those great poems that we've been hearing, and the one I'm going to finish with, May You. Will we hear all of them or lots of them?
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do tonight. What I like to do is listen to who goes on before or after me and try and link it in. So I kind of, there's an unknown element for me, and it keeps it a bit more exciting, but perhaps I'll do it later on. But your listeners will just have to tune in to find out, won't they?
Why not? Well, listen, I'll give full details of how people can do that for fortnight.ie. We'll obviously get you the details on it. But in the meantime, Stephen, we'll finish up with May You. Great to speak with you. Thanks for taking time out of the soundcheck.
Thanks.
You too. Look after yourself. Talk to you soon.
Thanks.
Stephen James Smith there, and here he is with May You.
On the day when your eyes can't see the beauty of the sky, may you find the quality of transparency in hope. The hope that soars with the eagle close to the sun. On the day when you think your race is run, may you find comfort in the respect the world offers up to you. No challenge worth accepting comes without a cost. See yourself as worthy. The strongest heart stretches. On the day when you feel overwhelmed, ask yourself, what else could you have done? May you find insight in your innate understanding of the universe. The world will spin, the fruits will ripen, and mouths will open for song. You know this. When fear has stopped your intentions to act, may you find bravery on the air. May you listen for it there. May new heights jolt your being back into yourself. Everything transcends. On the day when pressure makes you feel small, May you find prayer in the expanse of the albatross. May the brilliance of her wings release your ebullience. Your expression of thought lives to overflow, and you are not small. Everybody has crossed that threshold that we can all find a way back again from the cold. On the day when you feel captive, may you find freedom on the tip of your tongue. Allow yourself to speak of it. Speak of freedom. May you have the chance to change, to apologize to who you hurt. May you love. May you be able to breathe in open spaces, recognize signs and symbols of the deep self and see new connections. May you find rainbows in your day. May you be valiant in the words you say. May you know a blessing protects by giving. And may you know here and now is always the beginning. May you be enough and don't want for more. And in the end, may you simply, humbly, honestly state what you're asking for.
Really is a wonderful track, that May You from Stephen James Smith, at least the words, those of Stephen James Smith. You also heard the musical talents there of Cormac and Jess Cav, but well worth checking out the video online. I'm sure if you go to YouTube and just put in May You Stephen James Smith, you'll probably get there. Firstfortnight.ie will give you all of the details on the therapy sessions, but just to whet your appetite, tonight in Cork, among those, I was going to say on stage, but online with Stephen James will be the All-Ireland Poetry Slam champion, Shauna Lee Lynch, and some of the music will be provided by singer-songwriter Elaine Malone. There are others there as well. Tomorrow night then, the final night of the therapy sessions from the Roisin Dubh in Galway. The regular performer from the Roisin Dubh is John Connolly. You'll also hear the music of Niamh Regan, and the award-winning actor and writer Seamus O'Rourke will be part of that as well. Firstfortnight.ie for full details.